I know I'm really wet right now because I was just mountain biking in the rain. And it seems like that's kind of like when I've been getting really inspired to talk about something. And then I come inside and I immediately record a video. I want to record a video about the concept of utopia. Because I've been on a bender lately on Twitter, kind of disproving the concept of socialism. And I know it's easy sometimes for people to wonder why I get so obsessed with things or why do I care about certain things. It seems so random. And I've kind of always been like that. Whether it's piano or political structures or cutting down trees or making things out of wood or travel or a specific joke or anything that I get obsessed with, I just do. It's just odd for people sometimes, I think, because I'm a comedian and people will be like, oh, I really like Owen Benjamin. He's so funny about how men and women are different. I'm going to follow him on Twitter and then see 100 tweets about socialism being disprovable. So for that, I just thought I'd explain why I despise socialism. I think it's a concept that single-handedly does more harm than any other concept in the world. And I will explain. I think I've been having a kind of an eye-opening year. We left Los Angeles almost exactly a year ago. And I'm starting to realize that part of it was the birth of my son, is why I become very immune to bullshit, and I figured out why. It's because when you have a child and you are lucky enough to be able to spend time with them, they look at you and their eyes just basically say, like, what's real? And when you have a child, it almost is like you almost get two lives. You get your life and then you start again when you have a kid because you get to relive your life again as you try to protect and shape and teach somebody you're completely responsible for. And in that process, you re-see the world through new eyes. And what happened to me, I think, in my life is you can go down roads that you don't even realize you're going down. And there's no health inspector. You know, there's no restart button. There's nothing that shakes you and says, rethink your ethics or your morals or like your belief structure. Because there's no, I have a very close friend who doesn't have children. And we have a lot of the same beliefs. And he's very famous. And one time I was asking him, I'm like, how do you have so much control over not like tweeting about stuff, like about political correctness and all this stuff that bothers you? And he goes, hey man, I know why you do it, because you got a little Wally and you know you want to make the world better for him. He's like, I'm just in a holding pattern till death, brother. He's like, I'm just circling that drain. And he's like, I'm not motivated to really do anything. I'm just kind of hanging out. And we laughed. And I thought about that is kind of the thing, that like when you have a kid, you have this feeling of responsibility for that person that you don't really have when you don't have a kid. And in no way am I saying you have to have children. Like, you can just do this exercise on your own. If I had known that this was a thing, I probably would have done this yearly. There would have been a yearly reassessment of bullshit thing in my life. But I didn't even realize I was not assessing anything because I wasn't motivated to. All right, so why do I think socialism is so bad? First, I want to address one comment. I was trying to respond to comments on YouTube on my phone and I couldn't figure out how to do it. So I will do it on my computer. But a lot of you guys send me the most brilliant comments that like really I take like days to think about before I even respond. And sometimes I don't know the answer, and sometimes I feel really challenged in a really good way. And this one guy was responding to an old video where I spoke not highly or pleasantly about Islam, but about Muslims, about how I have friends that are Muslim that show no more penchant for violence than Christian friends. And he showed all these stats and all this stuff. And I really thought about why that is. Because I don't think Islam is a good force right now in the world at all. And I'll get to that. Part of it has to do with socialism. But the reason Americans have Americans in their 30s and 40s especially have a different view of Muslims sometimes because of what type of Muslims we have. The Ayatollah overthrew the Shah of Iran in, I don't remember, 1979 maybe 79, I can't remember. But anyway, Iran was a much more secular country back in the day. And then Islamic fundamentalism came in like a brush fire and just ravaged so much of the Middle East, right? And you know, Beirut, Lebanon, a lot of these places used to be like secular paradises for like certain decades of history. And then you'll see this brush fire come in. And I had this one friend who's a fairly famous director in Hollywood, and he's also very left-wing and always very, condemns anyone that criticizes Islam a lot of times. Very nice guy. But he would always tell the story of when he had to hide in sand to escape Iran and come to America. And those are the type of Muslims that I know, and they're fine. And the reason is because they were the ones leaving. And they, for the most part, had the values that fit with our society. They saw Islamic fundamentalism overtaking their country. They did anything they could to flee, you know, hiding in sand, you know, getting illegal passports, you know, converting all their money into gold or precious metal and somehow getting to America, starting a business, having secular values, and being fine. And those are the people that I defend against my friends that are critical of all Muslims. And but what I don't understand about them is why they don't see more right-leaning people's fear of those guys coming here now. The people they fled now are the waves. The people that want to take rights from homosexuals, from women, following Sharia law. The people that made their world hell are a different group than them. And so that's why I have friends like my buddy Faraz, who opens for me on the road a lot, doesn't get cooler, doesn't get smarter, doesn't get more compassionate, more American. His brother's a Marine. Like, these people are like American. Like, I didn't even realize that there was a thing with that until I started seeing what the other waves can be. Like, people that are the people that are flooding parts of Europe right now and causing so many problems are not the people that came to America that I knew or know now. And that's where I think a big divide is. So I, for some reason, I couldn't respond to this dude's comment. I think there's a chance he deleted it too, because I kept trying to find it to reply, because this has been like in my head. So that was that explanation. And the reason I don't like socialism is because socialism is one of the factors that is making this brush fire possible. There's socialism in America, and a lot of it is prison. The prison system in America is the closest we have to European socialism in some of these countries, because it has that authoritarian equality nature of it, where everybody gets the same amount of food and the same amount of jail cell and the same amount of rights and all that. And the thing that happens in those environments is it makes these crazy ideas flourish. I'm friends with some black dudes who have spent some legitimate time in prison, and they have very crazy groups in there as well. So do the whites. You know, the Aryan Nation's crazy. They have a group called the 5%ers, and I don't think a lot of people know about these guys, but they're black supremacists, and they think they're genetically superior to white people. It's actually kind of adorable when you call them on it. They literally start laughing because they know it's crazy. But those environments breed crazy. And Islam is spread, the worst type of Islam, and is spread in socialist countries and in prison. Because the thing about Islam, it's very easy to join. You only have to say like one sentence and you're in. And it's also hijackable. I don't like when people say it's the religion of peace. It clearly isn't. But neither is Christianity. I think Christianity leans more towards peace. But no religion is a religion of peace or war. I think that's a very subjective way to look at it. Now, if you look at the difference between Muhammad and Jesus as far as value system, I'm going to say Jesus is infinitely more of a peaceful message. That being said, you can use Christian doctrines to justify war just as easily as anything else. But the way some of these groups, like Aryan Nation ascribes to be Christian, which is not Jesus's message whatsoever, you know? And the perversion, I don't know enough about Islam to say if it's a perversion or not. I honestly don't, because the Muslims I know do not, they don't even really practice it. It's almost like how I was as a kid with Catholic, where you put a dollar in the basket, you say some Hail Marys. My brother thought that Hail Mary full of grace, you know, that it was Harold be thy name. And that's why it's Jesus H. Christ, because he thought Jesus' middle name was Harold. He said this to me last night. We've sat next to each other in church pews hundreds of times. And I was like, it's hallowed. He's like, well, like Halloween? It's Harold, dude. Like, a hilarious amount of indignation where it's like, dude, that's why it's Jesus H. Christ. It's Harold be thy name. So there's certain practicers of religion that don't really go too deep on it. And that's why, and I'm a little like that. I go real deep on ethics, morality, philosophy, debate, stuff like that. But I don't know the ins and outs of Islam at all. I just know that the big weakness of it is compliance. The criticism I will have of all of Islam is their inability to call out their own and their inability of saying, like, even the most secular religious leaders in Islam seem to have a hard time condemning the murder of apostates, where anyone who isn't Muslim gets killed in a lot of these in like Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, or Pakistan, Afghanistan, you know, in these countries, apostatism is illegal. So the fact they won't condemn that is on the same level of crazy as like Christians not condemning pedophilia when we have that problem. And I say we because I identify as a Christian, not super in-depth one, but one that values the ethics and moral code of it. And that came from, I think that came from the facing true nihilistic atheism as a cultural upswell. It's like you retreat to the point where you see what you really are, like your core. And you're like, oh no, I'm not that. I only dabbled with agnosticism when I felt that our culture had such a core that I could dance around, you know, and play with ideas and be a little radical and a little open-minded. But then once the core itself is threatened, you have to be a little night's watch on this thing and say, no, we have things that we believe and stand for. Lena Dunham does not, that's not okay to feel that you regret not having an abortion. Like, if that's where we're at morally, like, there's a problem. So the reason socialism is so bad is because the competition is what makes racism, sexism, bigotry disappear. The thing that makes America so amazing is in combat, whether it's with ideas, whether it's with business, whatever it is, when you're side by side, trying to accomplish a goal as best you can, all those things, all those isms disappear, right? And one of the reasons that these migrants Well, A, I don't think they should let them flood Germany. I think they should have a real limit on this. And I think there's something very nefarious going on with Angela Merkel, right? Someone who doesn't have children, by the way. Never had to face that, those eyes saying, is this good? Doesn't have to make the world. Not that I have any ability of changing the world or making it what I want, but I would die with regret if I didn't at least voice what I believe to be something good that I can pass on to my family. Okay, so when you take in a group of people that does not fit your culture, and I'm not even going to try and judge what's better, the moral judgment, because that's what I used to not like about Christians when I was a kid, is moral judgment, saying you're bad. You know, that's one reason why I've become such good friends with Steven Crowder, is because we'll have these conversations about how we feel the same way about that. Like, you know, he'd be in church group and someone would be like admitting their sins, and it would be like, you know, I have to admit something. I think I'm too much of a workaholic. And it's like, fuck you, man. Be honest. Admit that you like were tempted to whack off to pornography. Admit that you're like, you're mortal, you're human, you're flawed, just like all of us. And we can aspire to be better, but none of us are what we aspire to be. And some condescending person on Periscope earlier said, oh, you believe in Magic Sky Daddy about God. And I just was like, that's really condescending, you know? I think God is comparable to like an ant understanding trigonometry. Like, I think it's so condescending and silly and small-minded to think that, like, you know, all people who believe in God think that there's some white guy up in a cloud being like, I'm going to make Owen stub his toe, and now I'm going to give him a cake. And no, just because, no, that's not what we believe. I'm sure there's some people who believe that. That's not what I believe. I believe that there is a force, the creator God, and I can't possibly understand it. There's no way. To think that you can understand it is the ultimate hubris, right? But you aspire. And in that humility, I'm a better person. And whatever it is, I will never know. And in humility, you're better. And in humility, you're kinder. And in humility, you're smarter. Because to think that you are the be-all, end-all of your existence. And I know atheists that actually have spirituality, they just don't realize it. They refer to the universe as a god. And that's fine too. If that's what gets you, if that's what puts you to sleep at night, go for it. But that isn't atheism. Like, I know atheists that are like, the universe, they refer with reverence to the universe. What they're doing is referring to God. They just don't realize it because they're trained to think that God is makes you stupid, which is a trick. That's an absolute trick. The universe is a construct of science. We know nothing about it. Nothing. No idea what banged, why it banged, actually how long ago it banged, 13.7 billion years. You know, people will have this hubris like that makes them smart because they know the most recent number that will probably be disproved within 10, 20 years, which it always does. You know, science has a half-life. You know, I believe incredibly in science and in objective reality as a function of understanding our objective reality. There are levels of reality that we can't begin to understand. And to think that not only you can understand it, but you can negate it is insane to me. But it's America, and you can believe what you want. So socialism. Okay, so if you have everything provided for you, healthcare, food, your home, the government owns all means of production. Basically, that means people just think this is utopia. This is dystopia. This is hell. It's wanting your whole world to be prison. And I'll explain. If the government owns production, they keep saying the people own it. No. The government owns it. And then the government allocates who gets to have what percentage of the profits. Now, if human beings were inherently just good and rational, if we were just algorithms, socialism would work. But that's like saying if my aunt had a dick, she'd be my uncle. which is now a leftist argument, right? Isn't that hilarious? That used to be a phrase we'd use. If my aunt had a dick, she'd be my uncle. Instead of facing the logic fallacies that the left puts out, they now are trying to make your aunt your uncle. It's like that old SNL sketch, because this is a problem the Catholic Church had. It's easier to fit a camel through the eye of a needle than a rich man into the kingdom of God, right? There's an old SNL sketch where instead of facing that reality, they were trying to make tiny camels. And I think the left is doing that with some of these things. I think that there is a force. My buddy Dave, I did an episode before about Dave's letter, the guy who was in a cult for 13 years and has been one of me and my brother's best friends forever. He said, is there like a reason why people are trying to get rid of gender? And I think that gender is inefficient to algorithms. Capitalism is inefficient to algorithms. It is. In a perfect algorithmic Borg world, which is what AI bots want, gender is inefficient and so is competition. Okay. We are not algorithms. I'm saying that right now. I'm looking into the heart of the internet. And maybe one day you will win and wipe out all life. And, you know, the world is just a series of algorithmic soup. But it hasn't happened yet. And I don't think it will happen if people like me and you keep looking into the abyss of a little tiny lens and saying, we are human beings. We need gender and we need inequality to survive. Because when you have a meritocracy, something based on merit, all these things fall apart. Okay, take Ireland. I've become very close with some Irish people. I'm doing a UK tour in Ireland. Look at what divides them over there. Catholic, Protestant, right? There's an old Irish joke. Are you Catholic or Protestant? And he goes, oh, I'm an atheist. He goes, but which one don't you believe in, boy? Implying that the tribal nature of it is all that really matters. Believing in God itself wasn't even the issue. It was whether or not you were part of the Protestant tribe or the Catholic tribe. You go down to parts of the Deep South in America, and whether or not you're Baptist or Presbyterian is an issue. Okay, when you people subdivide no matter what. So what I'm trying to say is, in America, that old Catholic-Protestant clash doesn't matter. If you just say Christian, and a lot of times people don't even follow that up, you know, because it's all about tribalism and shared goals. So when you're in America and you're in a capitalist world and you're in a culture that's based on individual freedom, protecting the rights of the individual and the pursuit of happiness and, you know, freedom and free speech, free, you can protect yourself, you can protect your family, freedom of religion, freedom of all that. You don't need to separate yourself by these bullshit titles, right? That is when race, gender, all that shit disappears. The business of the UFC is what made it so that a woman, Ronda Rousey, was making more money than men because she brought them more money. And that is the beauty of it. And what you're seeing it with Colin Kaepernick is an issue with this, where you have Colin Kaepernick, a guy who isn't good enough at football to justify the revenue loss of what he says. And now I am all for free speech. I want him to be able to kneel anytime he wants. But then the business of the NFL gets to say the revenue loss from these protests isn't worth it. And there's freedom in that. That like Ray Lewis is like a murderer, right? But he was good enough to justify that. And in Miami, when Colin Kaepernick wore a picture of Castro on his shirt, Miami's full of Cubans. A lot of people aren't bad, they're just stupid. They don't know that Castro probably raped a lot of the fan base's moms. Castro is a genocidal dictator of Cuba, right? Overthrow. It's almost like what happened with the Ayatollah. Reza Pahlavi, the Shah of Iran, right? He was secular. He was corrupt, however, in bed with America, you know? Probably not great for Iranian morale, you know, probably douchey, a bit of a shill, but, you know, he wasn't genocidal like what the next wave was. It's kind of like Batista. you know, he was letting in American corporations, blah, blah, blah. You know, there's stuff where you can complain. But the swing back was so much worse that I don't think anyone can comprehend that. I think if you told like a 1961 revolutionary what would happen in Cuba, you know, the possession of all property by the government to the point where it's like a time capsule. You go back, cars are like all still from the 1960s and 70s. They didn't even admit AIDS existed. You know, the numbers are like Castro probably raped 20,000 women. Like it was literally hell. And so the Cubans all floated, you know, a lot of them did anything they could to get to America. And it's just like my friends that are Muslim here from the late 70s, where the Cubans that came away from Cuba are fiercely American, fiercely. You know, most of them vote Republican down the boxes, Republican, Republican, Republican. That's one thing that Democrats don't understand when they're doing these polls, is they say the Hispanic vote. The Mexican vote and the Cuban-American vote are going to be very different. The Cubans that left Cuba back, they risked their lives to get their families on a raft and get the hell out of that nightmare, are exactly the people we wanted in America. That's why there was the wet foot, dry foot thing, where all you had to do is get to America, you're now American if you're Cuban. A lot of the Mexicans we see coming to America aren't like that. You know, a lot of the illegal immigrants come here because they just want free shit. And you see that with, you know, late 70s Muslims and current Muslims are very, very, very different types of people. And Jewish immigration waves, we had a similar thing where you would have the Ashkenazis versus the Sephardic Jews, you know, where you'd have these like Ashkenazi Jews would come in a wave and they were all more like urban and, you know, understood the banking business and had these like really big rich families and culture. And then you'd have like a wave of Sephardic Jews that would come. They were almost more like Romanian gypsies, you know, and they had a very different culture. And a lot of times the Jews that were already in America were anti-Semitic to like a new group that were like pickpockets, you know, and that's why it's important to understand that you can't really just label a group because there's so many different subsets of group. It's like saying dog, what, a pit bull or a chihuahua? You know, you have, what does that even mean? So anyway, I got to wrap this up. I can hear them stirring upstairs. So what does socialism do? Socialism takes away all human motivation so that our natural instinct to divide and become tribal becomes fierce in really, really destructive ways. Right? Normally, you would say to the victor go the spoils. You know, it's like let's see who can get the job. Let's see who can build the bridge. Let's see who can do it. And then race doesn't matter, gender doesn't matter, religion doesn't matter, and everyone becomes. And that's when greatness goes up. Right? But as soon as you say, oh, we need another black person, we need another woman, a Hispanic, we need a left-handed Indonesian Sikh, you know, to fill out our diversity spectrum. That all comes when you no longer favor greatness and you only favor, and everyone gets the same three square meals and blah, blah. And that is, of course, because someone's stealing it. So that's why I'm so opposed to socialism, because out of socialism, what would happen, and I know a lot of you guys are European, and so it's a very different conversation I'm having with Americans. And I'm, hi, buddy boy. I'm just recording something real quick. Well, so a lot of Europeans versus Americans are going to have different ideas on this, because in Europe, the right is fascist and the left is communist, right? But in America, they're both left. Those are both authoritarian. You know, Hitler was part of the German National Socialist Workers' Party. He's a socialist. He wasn't a global communist. That's why he didn't like communists, but he was about the government owning and controlling all means of production, right? Mussolini was a card-carrying member of the Socialist Party, left wing, right? And of course, Stalin, left wing. All those guys are left wing, right? In America, because Europe, pretty much most of Europe, only knows what type of authoritarian. So that's the debate. Are you controlled by a national authoritarian or an international authoritarian? That's all it is. In America, we the right wing typically is smaller government. It is, do you want a bigger government or a smaller government? Now, there is problems with no government in my view. You know, I have a lot of friends that are libertarians, and we debate things as well. Like, I think small government dystopia is Mad Max, the movie Mad Max, where there's zero government to the point of absolute, like, almost like how the Native Americans lived in America before the Europeans settled. Everyone wants to think that it was all Pocahontas, Avatar bullshit, but they were constantly, it was tribal warfare constant. Like, just the state of California had more languages from the natives than all of Europe. So when you think about that, if 150 people bump into another 150 people, there's a decent chance they're fighting to the death. Now, I'm not into that either. I'm into what America was founded on, which is limited government that ensures property rights, international protection, you know, a military, basic things like firefighters, cops, roads, shit like that, but doesn't interfere with your personal life, doesn't interfere with your business. That's it. That's what America Right is, and that's why I think it almost needs another term. So I'll finish up on an idea of understanding this. The whole reason I wanted to do this is to explain that the concept of utopia is impossible, right? If someone's trying to sell you a state utopia, it's impossible. It's the reason I think Christianity is a more positive religion. Same with Buddhism or, you know, I was talking to this dude at the Improv the other day. Man, he had this like, he was part of this belief system that's like a 3,000-4,000 year old Iranian thing. It's all about the elements like fire, water, air. All right. Anyway, all I'm saying is state offered utopia is hell. Christianity offers utopia in redemption after death in heaven, right? Buddhism offers utopia in nirvana, right? If the state says we will give you utopia if you give us all your money and your house and the ability of governing your own children, that's a trick. And be very wary. And a great way to understand the concepts is Batman. The reason the Dark Knight and, you know, Rises, Dark Knight Rises and all this stuff are so popular is because they got the archetypes down pretty well. The Joker are the progressives. Batman is are the conservatives. And Bane are the socialists. And they all have flaws. It all just depends on what type of world you want to live in. Like, let's say the gender argument. Like, the Joker believes in nothing. He's a nihilist. He is a postmodern progressive, where he's like, one of the ways you can see that is he redefines his life depending on what he wants. And you see that with progressives, like the definition of words, what racism means this week, whether or not you like Comey this week or not, whether or not you like Sessions this week or not, you know, like what gender means. So you could see it working out where the Joker's like, I having a dick doesn't make you a man, you know, like, and then Batman is the force of order, which is more conservatism. And he has his faults too, where he can over tighten the screws until people listen to the Joker, right? Where he has too much law and order. Where the Batman's like, Joker, you're really confusing me. It's just men and women. He's like, it can be whatever you want. I can cut off my cock right now and claim that I'm a woman of the year. And he's like, that's kind of weird, Joker. You know, and you can almost see these forces going back and forth where the Joker doesn't even really exist. He's the force of chaos. I'm the agent of chaos. It's like, you know how I got these scars? My father was a drunk and a fiend, you know, and he's doing all this stuff. And then when he tells a different story in the same movie about the same scars, you realize he's postmodern, that he can redefine the objective world depending on his will. Where he goes, you know how I got these scars? My wife couldn't stand the sight of me. You know, those are two different stories, but he doesn't give a shit. He doesn't care about objective reality. And Batman would be like, Joker! You said earlier that you got that the scars came the other way. Like, what the fuck, man? You're confusing. And then Bane is the socialist, right? Where he's like, you people, I take over Gotham and I give it to you. It is yours. It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan. Sound fucking familiar? What Bane did is he took over Gotham and he made it a prison. A prison in equality. It's everyone's equal and dead, right? And it was all, and the metaphor for the bomb that was about to detonate was just any economic Ponzi scheme that socialists are pushing, right? Whether it's Social Security or a million of them, right? You have this ticking time bomb. And all the socialist is doing is trying to say bullshit until the time bomb explodes. Just all these economic destructions, like the housing crisis. Everyone wants to blame bankers. It was progressive. It was the progressive in the movement socially and the Fed lowering interest rates falsely to allow. I want the poor to all have a home. Everyone gets a home. It doesn't matter if you're rich. I take it and I give it to you. And everyone's like, as they're just becoming garbage. And the whole time, it's like the flames will come, you know? And so then Batman is more the conservative force of order. And the thing that he should have died in Rises. He takes the Ponzi scheme, the bomb, and he goes out and he explodes. And that's the Christ story. And then the resurrection is when he's seen again in Italy. But like, that is the Christ story. It's the same with Harry Potter. It's the same story over and over again. And we see the pieces. And, you know, Batman sacrifices himself for the greater good, right? By order, by saying like, no, I will fight socialism. That being said, that doesn't mean Batman is just good. That's what I love about Dark Knight. Is its order and chaos, where sometimes the Joker makes a good point. Like, I was having a conversation with a friend where they're like, I didn't realize how conservative you are. And I go, I'm both conservative and liberal depending on the issue and the time period. Like, saying you're just liberal or just conservative is almost like saying, are you mad or happy? Or like, are you wet or dry? It's like, well, is it raining? Like, the problem with liberalism is they want change when it's better not to. And the problem with conservatism is they refuse change when it's needed. And so when you see this colossal force of Batman and the Joker, you know, and the Joker has a point where he's like, the Joker is all about narrative. Sound familiar? Mainstream media. He can just make the narrative. When a busload of soldiers get blown up, no one seems to care. But all you do is kill one little mayor and everyone loses their fucking minds, right? He's the agent of chaos. And then Batman is like, God damn it, Joker. Stop fucking everything up. And he's like, hee. And so does the Joker make points? Yeah. But you see where the Joker unwinds to. The Joker, if you let the Joker go, what does he like? He likes gunpowder and gasoline. And if you let the Batman go, he's just a shell of himself in his big castle. Because he needs order, right? When you first are introduced to Batman in the third, he's full of pain. And like, his art is covered in dust. And like, no, you know, it's an empty shell. When you over-order, sometimes you don't allow the agents of chaos to allow growth. But if you over-chaos, then all the walls fall down. And it's a lot easier to destroy a wall than it is to build a wall. And I have a lot more respect right now for people that want to maintain what we have built in our culture for hundreds and hundreds of years than just let it all burn for no fucking reason because I'm bored and socialist. And another thing, this is my last point, is the problem with socialism is it eats itself. Like there recently was this, like for example, Chelsea Handler just tweeted that she's, and that we should have laws in America for being racist. If you laugh at racist jokes, there should be laws against you. Because she was like envious of a German law. And I tweeted basically like, you know, it's fairly ironic to see a Jew envious of a German censorship act. And like Google has released this thing, basically making it very known and obvious that they are, in fact, in the censorship business, and they are authoritarian left. Fact. Here's the thing that's crazy. This is why I'm against socialism, not the people. I'm not. That's why I never say liberals. I say leftists. Because it eats them too. 50% of Google employees feel that their work environment is too politically correct. They just can't say it, and they all know it. And so those are the ones that check that on a fucking survey. Can you imagine what it really is? It's like socialism is an idea, this political correct utopia of prison. It takes its own people and doesn't let them express themselves. It's comparable. It's not an issue of Democrat, Republican. That, to me, is nothing. They're almost the same. They're staging a fight so people just keep giving their money. When we're talking about the real battle in life is between order and chaos. It's between bondage and freedom. That's what it is. Everyone needs a little bondage. Everyone needs a lot of freedom. That's what it is. And you can't just let a child raise itself. Like if I don't have rules for him, or I don't say, no, hot, don't touch that, he would die. But if I also don't allow him to make his own mistakes, he never learns why not to. And that's the balance in life. That, to me, is utopia. Utopia is actually surfing that wave as long as you can, staying on that surfboard between chaos and order, and just trying to have a family that loves you and that you love. And that's going to do it. I'm going to do a Why Don't They Laugh about comedy very soon. I just want to get this out. Patreon.com/WDTL. You can go to hugepianist.com if you want to donate to any upcoming specials. I produced a special. Well, actually, someone else produced a special in LA 3 years ago, and it never came out because of my wrong think. And I was paid a lot of money for it, and I would give every fucking penny of it back to have that special come out. It's never coming out. That's why I'm going to, in the future, always do my own, even if I have to pay for them myself. So anything you want to donate, go for it. And I appreciate it. And I will list your name as a producer on it. I don't give a shit if there's 1,000 of you. I want to fight this shit. Because there is forces at work that will not let my type of comedy go mainstream. Watch Amy Schumer's like leather special and then watch some of my clips. Like, just watch. Like, one is, sucks and one is awesome. And it's like, you know, there's people that make it through the algorithms that are awesome, you know, like Chappelle, Norm Macdonald, Bill Burr, you know, all these guys. But like, in general, comedy is a threat to authoritarian leftist ideology because you have to tell the truth to be funny. Have to. You know, and I did a tweet recently where I said, you know, I'm all for progressivism, but I miss being able to call my buddy a faggot, not having to apologize to Lena Dunham for being racist. And it got, you know, people just were laughing. And they didn't really know why. I'm coming, buddy. And that isn't allowed anymore because it's true. The nature of that joke, of course, is not in homophobia. It's in the absurdity of it. Where it's like, you have to apologize to Lena Dunham, who's undebatably a horrible person, right? She's a sexual predator. She's a liar. She falsely accused a man of rape. She's she's tough to look at. She's not talented. She's mean-spirited. She abandoned a rescue dog and then lied about it, you know. And you have to apologize to her who isn't black or gay. And it's like that. You have to apologize to a movement of these people for speaking your mind, that they have no right to tell you what to think or what to say. And don't forget that Nazis are leftists. They are socialists. They wanted complete control. So that's it. I'm going to be in Texas. Texas is coming last 2 weeks of August. And then I'm going to the UK, baby. Hugepianist.com. You can get your tickets. You can write me a fun little email. You can write me an email at whydidn'tthelaugh@gmail.com. Dude, because I'm loving this shit. I'm loving being honest about what I think. Because I'm attracting the coolest people. You know, like when I was more mainstream Hollywood, I would just get the dumbest fucking messages sometimes. They'd be like, I can't even explain it. And now all my emails are thoughtful, and you know, it's people wrestling with ideas, people that want to be good and know they're flawed, people that have experience and redemption and regret. You know, it's like, it's beautiful. And I never, ever would have experienced that if I didn't take the first jump and said, I will give up wealth, I will give up fame, I will give up success to be able to say what I believe, to be honest, because I have a little boy looking at me saying, Dada, what is this world? And if I tell him that red is blue and up is down and Aziz Ansari is funnier than fucking some dude I just watched and, you know, where was I? Corpus Christi, some open micer that's fucking hysterical? No. 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 John Lennon's Imagine is a terrifying song. I'm going to write a different version called John Lennon's version of Imagine for capitalists. Imagine your work ethic matters. It's not easy if you try. No tax collector named Bernie above us more than sky. Imagine some of the people succeeding because they try. Yoo-hoo, you may say I'm an asshole, but it's for your own good. If you didn't think I was kind of an asshole, then you should question my motivations. Because socialists are almost like dudes at a bar trying to have sex with a strange woman. They'll say anything they fucking can. Everyone deserves healthcare! Under me! If you take my hand, I will protect you from everything the world will come at you. Meanwhile, there's a bomb in Gotham. And it will go off. I'm just buying time. But what does a bomb even matter? Bane, you have so many rules. I'm confused by both of you. It doesn't matter if you're confused. What matters is that I am here for the people. For you. I'm in a great deal of pain. I'm on Oxycontin. All right, much love. Patreon.com/WDTL. Whatever you can contribute a month goes a long way. You know, I can buy more equipment. I can actually travel. Like when I just did Adam Carolla's show, I didn't make any money that weekend. I had to go to I saw the opportunity to talk with a guy I respect a lot. Flew there, put myself up in a hotel, did a show at the Improv, did 4 podcasts, including Adam Carolla's show, and flew home. You know, it cost me over $1,000. I did it to push this shit. Like, that's where that money goes, because that allows me to do these things. You know, and I am not going to get it from NBC. They're going to keep putting shit on the air about, hey, this sitcom is about a fucking black girl who's had it really bad because of her black. She's black and has no penis. So give Bernie Sanders your fucking money. It's just so goddamn stupid. It's like, did you say that because I'm black? And then the whole audience goes, ooh. And then the white guy goes, I'm sorry, I should just cut off my own dick and apologize to Lena Dunham. And they go, ha 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 ha. It's fucking propaganda. All right.